Praise the Lord. Have your seat for a few minutes. Once again, I welcome you all to another life-changing conference. Our tradition and our ministry. I want to appeal to you to be focused and to have a single-mindedness in this entire conference. In praying for these meetings, because I prayed for all of you, I'll keep doing that. The emphasis of the Spirit of God at this year's conference is on the strengthening of the local churches. So those of you who are pastors, who brought your church members, your church workers, you did the right thing. The emphasis of the Spirit of God is in the local church, and we're going to pray for the churches. And a whole lot for the churches. We will be confronting the challenges of churches in this conference in the spirit of prayer. There are meetings and there are meetings. There are special meetings. And different meetings have the kind of grace that rests upon them. There are different kinds of meetings. You have the camp meetings. We have great times. We have, you know, wonderful times like that, Believers Convention. But World Changers Conference has the grace upon it. Very unique, very different. So it's a typical prayer meeting. It's, as it were, arguably the oldest kind of meeting that we hold in our ministry. So you can positively say it has birthed even the church that I pastor and whatever things we're doing today. So take the conference seriously and ensure that your heart is fixed. Focus here. You're not here to sleep, so the bed should not be your problem. You are not here to eat, so the availability of a buffet should not be your problem. You are not here to rest. Neither are you here to have gist. You are here for a purpose. And that purpose will never be defeated in Jesus' name. In Matthew's Gospel 28, we want to look at something that ought to motivate us as God's children. Jesus is our Lord. Romans chapter 10 verse 8 says, "What saith it? The word is nigh thee, in your mouth and in your heart, that is the word of faith which we preach." It says, if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. With the heart, man believes unto righteousness. With the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. And so we have the Lordship of Jesus by the virtue of being born again. He's our Savior. He's our Lord. Together with that is also our example. In 1 Peter 2:21, Peter says that he had laid down an example. He became an example also that we shall follow after his footsteps. He has become our example. In 1 Corinthians 11:1, Paul says, "Follow me as I am of Christ." Christ is the model. Christ is the example. I've had people say some horrible things like, "That is Jesus. This is you and I." And you wonder, what manner of Christianity are they talking about? We're not just called to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. We are also called to suffer on his behalf. Philippians 1:29. Paul will cry that I may know him, Philippians 3 and verse 10. The power of his resurrection, the fellowship of his suffering, that I may be conformable even to his very death. What an acclamation. In other words, he has become for us an example. Not just to mouth the fact that he's your savior, he has also become for us a model. A bit of that we'll explore as the conference progresses. So therefore in Matthew 28 and verse 18 he says, he came and spoke unto them saying, all authority is given to me in heaven and on earth. Go ye therefore, the key word there, and teach all nations, which means to make disciples of every nation. The Greek there, which means to make students of every nation. Now what student of what? The next verse in verse 20, I hope you are taking notes. Verse 20 says, teaching them to observe what things soever they admire in the world. Teaching them to create their own world or recreate their own world. No. Teaching them to take their world by storm. No. Teaching them to observe what things soever I have commanded you. Then he says, lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. So we are called to be his disciples. It becomes the pattern of believing, obeying, obedience. The Bible tells us in Hebrews chapter 5 that we have learned obedience in the things which he has suffered. Hebrews 5 and 8. But just before that, the writer of Hebrews points something out that I'm going to highlight shortly. He says, we have learned obedience. Of course, the King James or some other version says he learned obedience. Jesus did not learn obedience. We are the ones that are learning obedience from the things that he has suffered. He had nothing to learn. We had all to learn, because the word learning there has to do with being a disciple. And so, we have seen in his pattern, in the way in which he taught, his theology is our theology, his focus of his ministry is the same. But let's look at a crucial part of his life and his ministry. In fact, in growing up, people would sing songs like, prayer is the key, prayer is the key, prayer is the master key. Jesus started with prayer and ended with prayer. Prayer is the master key. Lovely. And they talk about how Jesus prayed. But there's something many people, for lack of trying to exaggerate, a good number of people, they may not be most, often do not emphasize. What did Jesus pray about? Have you bothered to look at what he prayed about? We know how he prayed. We'll shortly look at it. We have taught a series recently on the patterns of prayer. If you get your hands on that, you'll see a couple of things that I said there. What did he pray about? What did he pray about? Have you wondered or bothered to look closely at the content of your Lord's Prayer? Typically there, we have what people call the Lord's Prayer. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. You give us this day our daily bread. You forgive our trespasses so that we forgive those who trespass against us. You deliver us from the evil one. You lead us into temptation, pardon me. Any word, for that is the kingdom, the power and the glory forever and ever. He said, after this manner, pray. Even observing that prayer alone should put caution on the way you pray. Just observing that prayer. Thy will be done on earth. Or your will is done on earth as it is in heaven. You give us today in this kingdom your sufficient food, your daily bread. which has nothing to do with human desires or material things. A posios, he uses in the Greek, something that is sufficient, or call it eternal. And so we need to look at the content. What did Jesus pray about? What did he pray about? Well, because he's God? No. Hebrews 4:15, he says, we do not have an high priest that is not touched with the feeling of our infirmities. He was at all points tempted, yet without sin. Right of Hebrews 2:17 also says that, you know, he became one of us. He empathized with us. He was so that he was, of course, so that he empathizes with the same things that we feel. He became just like one of us. Romans 8:1. There's therefore now no condemnation in Christ Jesus. For the law of the life in Christ has made us free of sin and death. For what the Lord could not do, that was required, God sent his own son in the likeness of sinful flesh. Philippians 2:6-9. Shows you that he was a man. He was a man. And so, what did he pray about? His prayer pattern is obvious to all of us. In Luke 3:21, he was to be baptized and he was praying. Was he praying for the water to be cold rather than hot? No. Was he praying so that John the Baptist, you know? No, no. Was he praying so that John will be, no, no. Was he praying, for what could he have been praying for? He's praying at his baptism. He's praying for what? Now, before we go there, we have no double-mindedness about why Jesus came. He came to seek and save that which was lost. He says, I'm not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. In Luke 15, it typifies that. In the three instances he gives, the first, the parable of the lost sheep, the parable of the lost coin, and the parable of the lost son. That shows his focus. So in 1 Timothy 2:1, Paul says, first of all, supplication, intercession, prayers, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings, for all who are in authority. He says that we may live our life in godliness and peace and so on and so forth. For if this is the will of God, verse 4, who will have all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. If they ask you a question, why did Jesus come? I'm sure you won't mince words. You will say he came to give eternal life, John 10:10. He came by my have life, John 3:16. He came to bear the sins of many, Romans 4:25. Deliver for our offenses, for our justification. You will say it with such glee. Such glee. Why did he come to the world? You will say it with such passion, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness. So, but the Son of Man may lift it up. John 3:14. Whosoever believes on him will not perish, but have everlasting life. You say it with such passion. Why did he come? He came, Matthew 20:28, not to be served, but to be a servant, to serve others, and give himself a ransom for many. You will say it. Matthew 1:21. He says, thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. You won't miss words. You will say with such clarity of thought. And so, if that was why he came, therefore it's not far to say that was why he prayed. You won't think twice. You know, why did he come? He came so that he might, no, he came so that we might, not so that he might, it's so that we might. You won't think twice about it.
You wouldn't even have to open many scriptures. You just say very easily. You quote and quote. And so it is therefore not difficult to see the content of his prayer. That all men be saved and come to the knowledge of truth. Paul will say, there's one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. It's not difficult to see why did he come. For this cause, was this purpose of the Son of God made manifest, 1 John 3:8, that he might destroy the works of the devil. It's not difficult. It won't take you any form of deep study to come to that conclusion. Then the question should now be, how close are you to him? I'm not saying how close are you to a wonderful Bible teacher somewhere in Nigeria. I'm not saying how close are you to me that I'm speaking. I'm not saying how close are you to a worldwide renowned preacher. I said, in the Bible in your hands, how close is your prayer life to Jesus? I'm not saying, you know, when he prayed for me, I got a job. When he prayed for me, I got a house. When you go to that man of God, as he prays for you, you will find breakthrough in all your affairs. I don't dispute such testimonies. It is not even in my schedule to investigate such things. Not just having no time, no thought. But there's one that is clear. You can read it easily. Nobody needs to confuse you. Why did Jesus come? You don't need extra teaching. It's so clear. In fact, he told his disciples in Matthew 6, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. All these things you seek after, the Jesus seek after, it shall be added unto you. It was so clear. So, having said that, we saw how he prayed. Now let's look at the motions of his prayer. In Luke 3:21, he's praying at the baptism of John, a very important event in human history, where incarnation was unveiled, resurrection was predicted, and the prophecies of the Old Testament fulfilled. And what was he doing at that scenario? He was praying. At crucial moments of God's dealings with man as touching salvation, you will find the Savior praying. So prayer has left an event. Prayer has left a mere experience. Prayer is now Christian living. So key that at this crucial, in fact, Luke painted another picture just a chapter before, where we found two people, Simeon, a priest and a prophet, and we had Anna, the daughter of Phanuel, who was a prophetess. The two instances at the announcement that they had met the Christ, what they were found doing was waiting in the temple and praying. He wanted you to see it. Even Zacharias was found but praying before he was struck not to speak and after he was struck to speak. All those critical things were not put there just to fill up the spaces, but to show you a pattern. Are you in the house? Next thing we are going to see is in Luke 5:16, where Jesus, verse 15, as though he wanted you to pay attention. He says in verse 15, he healed all manner of sickness and disease. In 15, Luke 5, and then 16, he withdrew himself into his bedroom. He withdrew himself, playing music in the background. He withdrew himself, trying to rest. No! After a major meeting, oftentimes what we want to do is to go and sleep. After a crusade, you want to go and sleep. I tell people oftentimes it's almost your most vulnerable moment. After a major thing in ministry, he says he withdrew himself into the wilderness to pray. You must never take a break from prayer. Did you hear what I said? Even when you are on a holiday. One time like that, I traveled out of the country, I was coming back. It was, in fact, interesting thing, I missed my flight. As I used to do, not to do it again, amen. As I was coming back, it was a Christmas day. And I learned from events as I look at it. As I got to the country, before I came into the country, pardon me, I flew into three airports. I just noticed on a Christmas day, everybody who ought to be at their duty post were there. The pilots were working. The air hostesses were working. The crew were working. The were working. Those are the airports were working. Security people were working. I thought they called this a holiday. Even though it's a holiday, some people were busy. Because whatever they were doing had so important personalities involved. That is you and I. That if they take a break off it, there will be commotion and confusion in the earth. Commotion. But it's a holiday. Why can't we all go for holidays? Many of you who are doctors, nurses. And it's those two critical ones. Some of you are pilots. Or all those areas. You work for the electric company. You know, at those moments, you don't go for a holiday. Security. Why? Because those things many times deal with lives. Holiday doesn't mean people will not fall sick. Holiday doesn't mean that there will not be crime. So, there are some essential activities. And I saw it from nation to nation, even to my country, Nigeria. People were at their duty posts. They didn't say, holiday time, airports are closed, holiday time, hospitals are closed, airports are, holiday time, soldiers are with their families, holiday time, the police people are with their families. They need to rest during the year. So please, everybody stay at home. Don't go out. Make sure you don't fall sick. No! They are always there. How much more the man and woman that God has committed eternity into your hands. Even in a holiday, there is no such thing as a holiday in the spirit. I was talking to a young person the other day, younger than I am. Said, Pastor, what is the place of vacation? I said, how old are you? 20-something. You want to take vacation in your 20s? You can't last a ministry. Vacation at the beginning. They will cremate you soon. Vacation now. How many years in the ministry? Maybe 3-4 years. And you are taking vacation. By the time you do 10 years in ministry, you will have retired. Obviously, the person has been watching some things on Facebook, Instagram, seeing his or her friends, you know, going skiing in Iceland, moving from there, flying somewhere, showing up in amusement parks, taking pictures, deceiving all of you that they are happy. And so you are carried away. Jesus, after a miracle meeting, withdrew himself just like you have done. And he prayed. Look at the consequent effects. The second thing in 17, he went out again to preach, and the power of the Lord was present to heal. Can you see it? Can you see what I'm saying? It's a constant. It's a constant. In chapter 6, he's about to pick apostles. I thought he didn't have to pray. People who will walk with him in the ministry. Some of you will be looking for CV. Looking at CV. And looking at very ridiculous things. I mean, the moment, the day you sit down and you are trying to look for strategies in ministry outside prayer, hear what I'm about to say. You have missed God. No! We can bend our knees. If we want people to hear what we are preaching, we pray.
We pray. Someone was telling me, say, look at those secular artists. He said, if you see them, they are all on Instagram. They are all on Facebook. They are all on Twitter. You know, look at, we're looking at the things they are doing to attract people. I said, you are not okay. You are not okay. No, you are not. Where are you going?
He wants to pick men for ministry. What does he do? The Bible says in verse 12, Luke 6, he went to the mountain to pray and continued all night, which is 6 to 6. 6 in the evening to 6 in the morning in prayer to God. When it was day, he called his disciples. In this conference, you are going to take the right decisions. You would choose the wrong persons. In this conference, there are programs you are going to stop holding. After this conference, there are things you will never do again. Prayer is how you make decisions. Prayer is how to get married. Prayer! How many children? How? Pray about it. Let nobody tell you, use your common sense. No! First, use your prayer sense. Jesus, God, had to do all night. All night. To choose 12 people. You want to pick many leaders. You are checking their Facebook account. You are looking at how they dress. You are not okay, oh. You pray. You spend ministry decisions. Should be prayerfully considered. And that is why you are here. In this conference, you will shake off many beasts. You will throw many things out of your mind. And take the right decisions. You won't leave this conference without an undecided matter. From now to Wednesday, in those moments of prayer, your body is giving way. Bad thoughts are giving way. In those moments of tiredness and consecration, you will hear from God. All night. Some people say, it's not praying long, it's praying effective. You are not okay. Did you not read it? He withdrew himself to a wilderness. He went to a prayer mountain. He left his bed. Don't say, I sit on my bed, I talk in tongues, I use my phone, I'm conversing with Jehovah. I understand your problem. You think you are rapping? He went to a place where a secluded place. We all must take such times. I call it Ajodun. You know what Ajodun is in Yoruba? Anniversary. World Changers Call is an anniversary. Do you understand my point? It's an anniversary. It's a yearly thing. You lift your voice. You shake off the beast. That beast that is making your tummy go big. It is going this week. You will lay every weight, both physically and spiritually. This is a mountain of decision. Even your body will feel your decisions. I say your body will feel your decisions. Hear this. He prayed. He prayed to ordain. He prayed to take decisions. In Luke 9, he takes the three disciples of his, Peter, James, and John. Again, 28. As though Luke wants you to see something, he went up into a mountain to pray. Are you seeing this? He went to a mountain to pray. Stop saying things that God is everywhere. Who are you talking to? The God that is everywhere went somewhere.
that is everywhere, he now went somewhere. The places you pray in itself is consecration to you. It's a sign of consecration. That you can get up from your bed, leave your house, leave your home, go leave your city. Some of you have left your country. In itself, that's consecration. Let nobody teach you nonsense. He went to a place where there was nobody. He now goes to a mountain to pray. Look at this. Luke says, he prayed. The fashion of his countenance was altered. This is going to happen to many of you. Was altered. So you have such moments. In Luke 22, just about the time he will be crucified. What do you do at the end? If not just to keep quiet? No, he doesn't do that. That means the death of Christ was worth praying about. He's going to die. He still had to pray about it. Which shows you that prayer is never about things. Prayer is about divine events. Divine circumstances. Divinely ordained situations. Luke 22. He prayed in agony. Verse 44. He prayed more earnestly. His sweat was as it were great drops of blood falling down to the ground. Some people have argued, no, it's a figurative expression. Okay, let us see it in you too. Let's see the figurative expression. Because what does it look like that? And so, in Hebrews 5:7, just before the text I was mentioning the other time, he says, in the days of his flesh, he offered up prayer with supplication with strong cries. And then verse 8 says, we learn obedience by the things that he suffered. So, we learn obedience by the prayer life of Jesus. Hebrews 5, 7 and 8. Before you now read verse 10, which many of you like, is the author of eternal salvation to them that obey him. What about the previous text? You have sure silence when you got there? Read it! He prayed. He says in verse 45, pray! Lest you enter into temptation. What did he pray about? What made him cry? What made him have agony? You see people, what is hindering your destiny? And they are crying. People cry in prayer. You're not the only one that cries in prayer. People cry. Hold your head. It's my year of acceleration. Hold your head. Everything that 2019 is not giving me, 2020 is going to give me. I'm now here in 2020. It's 2020 vision. Vision 2020. I say we are not well. You know the optics is 2020 vision. Say that's what I can see. We are not well. Pray on your head and you remember how your boss at work is threatening you. You remember, you know how your in-laws want to remove you from the in-law list. You remember how they deny you visa 9 times, even one time including last week. You remember your grades in school set you in the eyes like Lucifer. You remember, and they say, what is this that's ending your destiny? You raise your But we see Jesus. We see why he cried. We see the reason for his agony. It's not because of his wife, his children. It's not because of his job. It's not because of having what to wear, what to drink. Why was he agonizing? It was nothing personal. The content of Christ's prayer was nothing personal. It had nothing to do
with improving himself, even though in his obedience he was exalted. It had everything to do with others. What was the content of his prayer? Pray for me, play for me, I close. John 17. John gives us the content. John says, as he prayed, he says in 9, I pray for them. I pray not for the world, but for them which thou art given me, for they are thine. Then look at verse 20. Neither pray I for this alone, but for them also. So I say also. Which shall believe on me through their word. Jesus prayed 2,000 years ahead. There are things you will pray for, your eyes will not see. Get used to that. There are things you will pray for that will not happen in your country, but some other country. There are things you will pray for that won't happen in your own ministry. There are people to pray for that is not you. There are things you will pray for that won't happen until 20, 30 years. There are things you will pray for that is for the next 100 years. We are today beneficiaries of the prayers of people that have gone hundreds of years ahead. What was the content of his prayer? Men, times, seasons, events, and eternity. Let your heart burn tonight. You have come to a place where your prayer life has to change. Your prayer focus has to change. For them who receive the word, believe on me through their word. Hear this. The gospel therefore must permeate your prayer life. The gospel must dictate your prayer life. The gospel must dictate what you pray about. Hours and days and months. As we pray, today, tomorrow, Saturday, Sunday, Monday, I tell you, we're changing situations. We're changing men's lives. We're changing nations. Through our churches. In this conference, issues in local churches will be resolved. And so pastors and leaders and workers, let your hearts be in this prayer. We lift churches, ministries, in nations in prayer and have them change forever. What did he pray about? He prayed about times and seasons. He prayed about men and situations. He prayed around the gospel. He prayed around the fulfillment of scriptures in the nations. He prayed that men be saved. He prayed that they come to the knowledge of the truth. This is why he prayed. This is what he prayed about. This is the focus of his prayer. And because we are learning of him, because we are following hard after him, because we are students of his life, because we are disciples of his ministry, this is how we pray. We are going to cry. We are going to weep. We are going to scream. We are going to pray quietly, loudly. We are going to be tired. We are going to agonize. We are going to battle sleep. We are going to battle the flesh. But we are still going to pray. We are going to pray into days and hours. But we are still going to pray. We'll have men help us to pray. But we are still going to pray. We'll feel thirsty when we are praying. But we are still going to pray. We'll feel sleepy when we are praying, but we are still going to pray. We'll feel tired when we are praying, but we are still going to pray. We'll pray! knowing that the lives and the futures of nations and destinies are in the things that we do and the things that we say. We will pray. In this conference, we will pray. We're going to pray, as you know. This prayer meeting ends on Saturday. We're going to pray and pray and pray. We have churches to pray about. We have nations to pray about. We have ministers to pray about. We have disciples to pray about. We have the lost to pray about. We have confused believers to pray for. We have different meetings to pray about. And this is where we are going to pray for them. Wear the garment of endurance. The garment of Christ. The garment of patience and long suffering. The garment of prayer. And let us change these circumstances as we pray. Hallelujah. Pray in the Holy Ghost as you sit down. Pray in the Holy Ghost. Pray in the Holy Ghost.